Welcome, everyone, and thanks for listening to Let's Brief It, the podcast for law students by law students. My name is Dejana Richardson. I'm a third-year law student at CU Boulder. Joining me is my co-host, Faraha Joy Singh-Waime, an LLM student at Georgetown Law. In today's episode, we are going to explore the data privacy, governance, and tech policy advocacy happening in Kenya. Joining us are our guest speakers, Ms. Cynthia Chepkemoi and Commissioner Immaculate Cassett. Cynthia Chepkemoi is a legal practitioner licensed to practice in Kenya. She's currently working as a data protection counselor. In her current role, she helps organizations set up data governance frameworks in compliance with Kenya's data protection laws to ensure that their technology systems are bulletproof in cyber attacks. Beyond her professional pursuit, Ms. Chepkemoi enjoys cycling to keep fit, baking, and trying out new recipes to excite her palate. Ms. Chepkemoi is joining us to discuss how the Kenyan government is implementing a data governance framework, which includes data protection laws and regulations for all organizations to follow. Ms. Cassett is joining us from the Office of Data Protection in Kenya, an office which has a mission to protect the personal data of Kenyans through compliance, enforcement, public awareness, and institutional capacity development. Commissioner Cassett is Kenya's first data commissioner. She's an advocate of the High Court of Kenya, holds a bachelor's degree from Makere University, a postgraduate diploma from Kenya School of Law. And in 2021, Commissioner Cassett was recognized among the top 25 women in digital in Kenya. Data privacy is a hot topic in countries across the world as they attempt to protect citizens and manage security risk. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. First, we'll start to provide our listeners with some institutional knowledge about data governance. Commissioner Cassett, could you provide us with some institutional knowledge about the Office of Data Protection in Kenya? What is it? Why is it necessary? And how does it affect the daily life of the average Kenyan citizen?
Thank you for this opportunity to speak on this podcast. Indeed, it's a big privilege to share matters data protection and what we are doing in Kenya. Just going straight to your question on what is that, why data protection, what is happening in Kenya. The Office of the Data Protection was established in November 2020, and this was following the enactment of the Data Protection Act 2019. So we are shy just about 3 years, 2 months. And really, the office was established to regulate processing of personal data so that we ensure that when people, data controllers and data processors who will get into deeper who they are, they also are guided by the principles and the Data Protection Act to protect the privacy of individual. And also, we have a responsibility to establish a legal and institutional mechanism and to ensure that the rights of the data subjects have the rights and remedies are protected. The mandate of the office, as an office, we have a couple of mandates. One of them, apart from regulating personal data and ensuring that the data controller and data processors adhere to Section 25, we also ensure that the data subject can come to our office for redress. And under that, our functions really include, we oversight the implementation of the Data Protection Act. We conduct inspections. We do investigation in case somebody feels that their rights have been violated. They'll always come back to us. We can embark on an investigation. If we find there's value, we then enforce. We give you an enforcement notice. If you don't adhere to the enforcement notice, we then issue a penalty notice. We conduct assessments. We also promote self-regulations. We register data controllers and data processors. We're slightly over 4,000 now. And also conduct research and also are part of the international organizations. So essentially, that is who we are, what we do, and why we exist as an office.
Thank you so much. Well, I would like to know, Ms. Chepkemoi, to start off with, if you could provide our listeners with some institutional knowledge about the data governance and privacy system in Kenya.
Well, thank you for that really good question, so to say. And just to emphasize on what the commissioner has said, it is in terms of institutional knowledge and data governance, we have a new office, which is the Office of the Data Protection Commissioner, where she is the commissioner in that office, and they play a very significant role in terms of compliance and, of course, assessing what data controllers and processors really do with personal data. But then maybe you can take a step back before the Office of the Data Protection Commissioner came into force. Then were the institutions that existed, or what were the forums that Kenyans would go to for redress? And this takes us back to our Constitution of Kenya, and we have to consider the article, which is Article 31, C and D of the Constitution of Kenya, which gives every citizen the right to privacy. So based on that article, then it's actually created the Office of the Data Protection Commissioner. So before, where there were any conflicts in relation to use of personal data, image rights, and all that, then the proper forum that Kenyans would go to was the High Court because of the documentation that needs to be lodged there, which was a constitutional petition. So before the Office of the Data Protection came or was actually created by statute, which is the Data Protection Act, then institutionally, most matters relating to privacy were resolved at the High Court. And there are cases that have gone beyond and above after appeal, and others are even filed in regional courts like the East Africa Courts of Appeal. So that being said, then in a nutshell, that is the history. Then we proceed and now link this based on the act that came into force. And the commissioner has rightly put it that the office is empowered under the Data Protection Act. It has functions and it has powers. And I will not go into the details of the function as powers because she has rightfully explained them. So that is it about the institutional knowledge. And in terms of governance, then we are experiencing this paradigm shift where we are transitioning from the old dispensation to the new dispensation. So in the Constitution, there were no stringent rules to entities that were processing personal data. But then with the new law, then there's more responsibility, or I'd say there's a heightened sense of responsibility to data processors and controllers in Kenya. And she has already stated that they are required to register, you're required to have a data privacy policy, you're required to have a privacy notice. The Act actually gives power to the people. There's a specific section that touches on the rights of data subjects, which I'm sure we'll also delve into during this conversation.
Thank you, Ms. Chepkemoy. We're now going to move to our next question. Commissioner Cassett, can you discuss Kenya's strategic data privacy plan and the steps that your office is taking to regulate the private sector that does business in Kenya? And how does your office plan to integrate the African Charter on Human and People's Rights?
Before I discuss that, there is a part of the question we skipped, which I would like to emphasize. Chepkemoy has spoken to it briefly, the importance of data protection. She's given a history about where we are coming from. But really, when you reflect on why is data protection becoming a very big concern across the globe, and particularly in Kenya, when we look at it, we see a rise. Because when we used to be very manual, it is very difficult for youth people then to access personal information or use it for things that are not supposed to. The reason why data protection has become a concern is because we've seen a growth in digital platforms, growth in e-commerce, growth in more and more institutions moving to the net. What that means is that many of these organizations across Africa, in Kenya in particular, are collecting information that are very personal to individuals, which they then use it either for data analytics to know their customer, which is one of the biggest reasons given. For purposes of collection of data, they give the reason of know your customers to make the product better. So this information can be quite intrusive because you'll find people asking about their biometrics, your financial status, your demographics, your geolocation. If this information does not have what Chepkemoy is having, institutions that are mandated with data governance to protect, that information can be misused. And that is why the principles of data protection come into place. You will find that people could either end up being excluded financially, they could be discriminated against, they could be stigmatized, they could be subjected to cyberbullying. And we're an era of surveillance capitalism, where people are collecting information. So we must have the balance so that we make sure that everyone out there in the street is safe, that the information, even when it is collected, it is secure and it's only used for the purpose that it's intended to. So that's really why the strong point on why we have the data protection authorities and acts today. Moving to the question in terms of the issue around Kenya's strategic data privacy plan and the steps our office is taking to regulate the private sector. As an office, we launched our inaugural strategic plan in 2021. And really, we had three pillars. And, you know, like I said, part of our work is institutional strengthening. So the strategic plan has institutional capacity building, regulatory services, and awareness creation. On institutional capacity, our work was we made sure we have operational offices, recruited staff, and automated our offices and to be able to make it easier. We are one of the few offices where from start you register online. We never interacted with registration material offline because we thought that was a way of making sure we increase efficiency. On our pillar on regulatory framework, what we've done, we moved on to have three sets of regulations so that they can operationalize the Data Protection Act. And at those sets of regulations, we have regulations on registration, on investigation and enforcement, and the general regulations. In addition to that, we've also come up with guidance notes because you realize the issues around data protection are quite complex. So to simplify it for people, we've come up with what we are calling guidance notes. And we have also embarked on conducting audits. Last year, we did 40 for digital lenders. This year, we are doing another 40 and even more for both private and public sector. And really, the essence of the audit is to help companies or data controllers to actually become compliant. On an awareness creation, which was the other pillar, our work on awareness creation is we started off by partnering with the Kenya School of Government, who have also now automated and have an online training, because we realized we were limited in terms of capacity when we started. In addition to that, we have also have a training division as an office where we are conducting training. And then thirdly, like Cheptumoi will tell you where she's working, we've now identified trainers, training institutions who we have accredited and audit firms. Given, you remember I said one of our work is self-regulation, we give people options to select from that pool of trainers and auditors so that they can be able to walk this compliance journey. And of course, we've had awareness creations through public forums, webinars, conferences, roadshows, and our social media. Just last week, we launched the first AI chatbot with the second government institution using chatbot for purposes of knowing your customer. And the reason we did that is because you realize you cannot have a call center that some questions asked are just frequently asked questions. So if they can query the chatbot, then they are able to get their questions answered. It's one way of using AI responsibly to be able to help know our customers. On the African Charter on Human Rights and People's Rights, just to emphasize, it is anchored on the right to life, liberty, equality before the law. And I'll let Cheptumoi, who is a practicing lawyer, speak about the nexus more. I'll leave that for her. But just to say, in terms of where we are as Kenya, if you look at how our constitution is crafted, once we ratify an international convention, it becomes automatic under our constitution. So in terms of hierarchy, we look at it from conventions, then our constitution, the subsidiary laws, and then regulations. That's the order. So you can place the Data Protection Act within the African Charter on Human Rights in terms of making sure human dignity, human privacy is taken care of. It's a new area that is developing. We believe that Cheptumoi will give insights. She's the one practicing me and me on the other side of a regulator. But I'll stop there to those two questions on our strategic advantage and what we are doing, and also when it comes to the African Charter on Human Rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Cassid. I would like to say that it's so wonderful to see all of the great work that's happening in Kenya. It's far more advanced in data privacy and the protection of human rights of Kenyans, and actually much more advanced than some of the work happening here in the States.
Yes, thank you so much for those very informative insights. And Ms. Cheptumoi, I wonder if you could perhaps narrow in more on the nexus between the national legislative structure and the regional structures that support Kenya's progress or, you know, potential advances on data privacy and data governance in Kenya. You know, to what extent is the African Charter really helpful and useful? And to what extent are other regional structures and international structures useful for the advancement of data protection in Kenya?
Thank you for that question, Faraha. First, I'll start by making reference to our constitution, which is our supreme law in Kenya. And I'll make reference to a specific article, which is Article 2, 5, and 6 of the Constitution. And this just circles back to what the commissioner just said, that by virtue of ratifying a certain convention or charter, then automatically then Kenya is bound by it. So when we look at the laws within the region, that is regional framework, like we have the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, we have International Convention on Civil and Political Rights, which we refer to as ICCPR, we have the African Charter on Human Rights that you're talking about, which Kenya is also has actually ratified. We have the Conventions on the Rights of a Child. We have the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of a Child. So looking at this regional framework, of which Kenya is a signatory to most of this, then by virtue of Article 2.5 and 2.6 of the Constitution, we are bound by these laws, or rather model laws within our region. And they each has an aspect of privacy and data protection. And the most recent of these regional frameworks is the African Union Convention on Personal Data and Cybersecurity. And I'm hoping that Kenya shall be ratifying the same soon, because we also have international obligations. So in as much as we have the local laws that provide for a framework, which is very robust, but then where are we in terms of meeting the international standards as an entity? Because we also have to look at geopolitical concerns on how we are going to interact with players in business. Yeah. So you'll find that most of the requirements right now go back to, they'll always ask, what are the laws that are in place in Kenya with regard to privacy? So the regional frameworks and international laws really play a very significant role, because if rights are violated, and previously when the law was not there on data protection, most people will hinge their claims or petitions on international frameworks that their rights have been violated with regards to privacy. We have vulnerable groups like children, we have women, we have people living with disabilities. Then where do they derive their humanity from in terms of rights that speak to them? So these frameworks really played a significant role in protecting their rights to privacy. And when we look at the socioeconomic rights under the Constitution of Kenya, one has the right to communicate and their communication not to be infringed. One has a right to privacy in terms of their property, their family, you know. So it has a socioeconomic perspective in it as well, because some of the grounds on which discrimination is being advanced actually would be found by or through assessing very sensitive personal information, right? And when you look at most of the cases that have been taken to courts and litigated to the very end that are privacy related, rarely were local laws cited, but then the laws that were cited were the specific sector laws. Let's say like the people living with HIV, they have a law, and most of them were being discriminated. They could not get jobs because of their health status. Health status is what is classified under the local laws, under our Data Protection Act, as sensitive personal data. Your gender, you may not get a job because they say this role is a man's job. So those international laws played a very significant role in emphasizing on the privacy right. And, you know, the Data Protection Act, as read together with other international frameworks, gives back power to the people with regards to their rights to privacy in a world where technological advancements have become very intrusive. So then how have we been able to achieve this is by holding data processors and controllers accountable. Yeah. It has provided these data subjects with privacy rights. However, we should take note that these rights are not absolute as well, because we have to balance them with other laws. Like there's a trade-off for you to maybe withdraw your consent, or maybe you want to change your data, rectify, and all those. There are parameters that apply for that to be done. And if you withdraw consent, then it means you might not be able to ascertain service. So we are trying to get that balancing act between what the law says and what is done in practice.
Thank you so much, Ms. Chepkemoi, for describing the major achievements that the Office of Data Protection in Kenya is working to achieve for vulnerable groups in Kenya, and also how it integrates the regional laws, the Kenyan Constitution, and the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, which is known as ACHPR. My next question is for Commissioner Cassett. What role do you anticipate artificial intelligence will play in African digital futures and data privacy as the African continent is sort of starting to think about not only just Kenya, but other regional states start to think about privacy and protecting vulnerable groups?
Thank you for that question. And just to jump in once a statement to what Chepkemoi has said, I want to assure the listeners that Kenya is making steps towards ratifying the what we call Malabo Convention. There's already a cabinet discussion on that. And there's a commitment from the government to make sure that happens as part of making sure we have that occurring international law. Coming to artificial intelligence, an interesting topic. Just yesterday, I think there was a conversation also in Parliament. There's a lot of buzz around artificial intelligence. We don't know where to touch. There's a concern that Africa is lagging behind in as far as artificial intelligence is concerned. It's here to stay. I would want to say, like we are saying, it's a wave. We just have to think through in terms of how to make sure that the data that is collected, processed, and stored is in line with data protection framework. We cannot wish it away. We have to emphasize on issues around an ethical use of the information. As they use, we embrace artificial intelligence. How ethical is it? Are we going to make sure that we are not using consent or third-party cookies to just hide away in terms of mining people's information? And that's why it comes so that we are not exploiting and automating processes without necessarily thinking through. I have a nephew who is a computer scientist, and you know their work is to mine information on behalf of Kenya. In fact, they get very offended when you're telling them, reduce how much. However, this can be addressed by, we have a section, I just need to get a hold of it, in the Act which says automatic processing. There's important under the Data Protection Act to make sure, even as we embrace artificial intelligence, there's data protection by default and by design. Even as we develop algorithms, we ensure that it's not too intrusive and make sure that the information is securing the rights of a data subject. Even as we see the whole world gravitating towards artificial intelligence, I think the key buzzword is ethical, trustworthy, and human-centric. Those are the keywords that will help us in terms of making sure that the AI, as we embrace AI or come into line with AI, it's taking into account the human aspect of it. We have the examples of EU AI Act, US Executive Order, and China AI Regulation. There are many frameworks that everyone is discussing, and of course, even the UNESCO on AI. I think for me, as we move towards that as Africa, as Kenya, ethical, trustworthy, and human-centric are the three things that should guide this conversation of artificial intelligence. And as people embrace artificial intelligence or work towards it, they need to develop algorithms which are by default and by design, taking care of the rights of the data subject.
Absolutely. That is so well said. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes, thank you so much for, again, just making those clear connections on AI and the role in Africa and how we'll be moving forward with that as a continent. So I would just like to ask Ms. Chepkemoi about your background in terms of microfinance at the Kenya Women Microfinance Bank and how data privacy and governance impacts the role that you have there.
Well, on a day-to-day as a privacy practitioner, data protection officer, you know, there is a lot that's happening in the space. And as a practitioner, I need to keep up, you know, with the regulator, unless they come for me, you know, the commissioner is here herself. So one is I play an advisory role to the bank, and I provide advice in terms of privacy, in terms of how do our products impact our customers? What do we need to do to be compliant with that? And I'm glad that even before that, we had the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, which before mandated the carrying out of human rights impact assessments. And I'm excited that the Act also came in to enhance the aspects of personal data. And every day when we roll out products, we roll out services, we have to advise business. So that is the first role that I play. The second role is I act as the compliant person. Are we compliant with the losses? That is the Data Protection Act, which is the substantive law. And of course, the three regulations the commissioner mentioned, which are the procedural laws. So maybe the first thing that happens is, are we registered as a data controller or a data processor? That is something that I oversee. Do we have a privacy policy that goes into compliance? What does it say about how we handle customer data, how we use it in business, how we actually store it in our systems, how we protect it? So generally, in terms of compliance, there's a lot that goes into compliance. Apart from the policy, there's the implementation aspect. You know, sometimes we have policies, but they are just in paper. But how have you implemented the policies? And also carry out internal assessments in collaboration with our internal audit team and the risk team to look at the risks that the technologies we use in the bank actually will pose to our customers. So I carry out privacy impact assessments, data protection impact assessments, where we are onboarding new technologies, and especially where automation is concerned, specifically looking at automated decision making, because when you deploy systems that result to automated decision making to our customers, then it means there's some legal implications of that to them, and it might actually deny them some of their rights or freedoms as our customers. So that is another aspect that I look at in compliance. Another aspect of compliance that is very significant and we cannot wish it away is the issue of protecting data. How are we protecting data as an institution? What are our solutions in terms of cybersecurity solutions that we have in place to ensure there's data security? And the Act is very clear in terms of how do you ensure data security? We need to have administrative and technical measures in place. So the administrative would be the standard operating procedures, you know, the guidelines and all that. But in terms of technical compliance, and this is where, as a data protection officer, I have to work closely as well with the IT department, the cybersecurity team, for them to actually show me proof of, yeah, there's evidence that our systems are protected, because how else will we protect data if not through data security or having information security solutions that really protect it? Because I believe without information security or data security features, then we cannot protect data. Yeah. So that is what goes into my day-to-day operations. And finally, we have the aspect of sustaining the data governance program. You train staff, I monitor compliance quarterly or biannually, we review policies. And the last aspect to look at respond, how do we respond to different concerns? Like we have maybe data subject requests. They want to assess their data. They want to rectify their data. So do business processes actually conform with these rights that a customer can be able to update their personal data, they can rectify, they can request for deletion, they can request for it to be ported to another service provider or to another entity? Then those are the things I look at when focusing on the fourth aspect, which is respond. Then we also, from time to time, there are incidents that happen. Yeah. So we have to carry out a whole data breach and incident response. Look at who is involved. Is this an incident that has impacted our customers' personal data? What information has been impacted? And in responding, need to respond to the data subject, respond to the commissioner, send them emails and letters indicating that we have breaches and this is how we are handling this. So all in all, that is how my day-to-day operations look like when handling the privacy program in the bank.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Chapkemoy. Our final question for both Commissioner Cassett and Ms. Chapkemoy. Our listeners would love to hear, in your own words, any general advice that you would like to share for students and legal practitioners who are interested in joining data privacy, the governance field, or even sort of looking at artificial intelligence. Commissioner Cassett, we'll start with you, and then Ms. Chapkemoy will give you a chance to respond to this question.
I'll say there's no more exciting time than this one of something thrilling. It's not your traditional mortar and brick I'm not saying we are not doing conveyancing anymore, but we've moved away from mortar and brick, that you can make a living out of something different that is really impactful. As I speak to and address the students and practitioners, there is no better time than now when the cliche of everyone saying the new oil, data is the new oil. Indeed, it is the new oil. Indeed, we are in an era where data analysts are probably the biggest earners. So in that space where everybody is automating, everybody is developing new algorithms to make sure there's artificial intelligence, you can't afford to be left behind. And I would want to encourage law students and legal practitioners, just get yourself a certification. Because at the moment, there are a few universities training on data privacy as a full degree course, but there are certifications across the world on data privacy, governance, and artificial intelligence. That will help you in terms of boosting your foundation of understanding this. But also, just pay attention to the trends and best practices. Because today we could be talking about this thing and we don't know what will emerge tomorrow. Just keeping abreast, like we were told in law school, class 001, a lawyer is a jack of all trades and a master of none. So I would say, just get onto it. Study the new trends. Connect with industrial profession. Attend webinars that are being offered. The world, it's just a clean slate, or what you'd call a blue ocean in this area of data governance. It's up to you really to take the marker and draw on it. So it's up to you. And since I may not get another opportunity to speak, I'll also take this opportunity to wish the listeners a happy International Women's Day on 8th of March. Thank you.
Turning it over to Ms. Chepkemoy, who's going to answer that same question and share her thoughts and insight.
Well, maybe I'll just use a personal experience, how I really broke into this space. It was way back in 2021. I was a legal associate in a law firm, and it was the normal drafting. As the commissioner said, it's not the normal brick and mortar. And I felt like this is, you know, I need to just cover niche. And for me to actually get into this space, there's a specific senior advocate I was working with, and they handed me a file to peruse and draft submissions. So it was a constitutional petition to the High Court, and this matter was on a violation of privacy by a service provider, actually in the hotel industry, where people, actually a team had been taken somewhere for a training, and the photos were taken, and they were shared on different social media platforms by that very hotel. So during my research and drafting of submissions, I realized there were new laws on data protection, on cybersecurity, and I'm like, okay, what is this animal? You know, I need to know more. So curiosity actually, yeah, curiosity brought me into this space. Yeah. So I further learned that actually there is a totally new area of practice, and I was excited and I was curious at the same time. Fortunately, I took a course with Kenya ICT Action Network at the Kenya School of Internet Governance. I participated in several fellowships that were privacy related. I ended up even taking a course in cybersecurity. And along the way, it became so technical and I almost dropped out. And, you know, I think over time, I built resilience and I realized this is a space I need to get into by force, by fire, whichever, but I had to get into. So it was a bittersweet experience, like just getting into the space. And I can clearly tell you, at some point, I almost dropped out of the fellowship that I was taking on cybersecurity. And that's how I ended up in this space. So just to give advice to the students who are listening, you can carve your own path any day, anytime. It takes consistency. You have to sacrifice a lot and never stop learning. That is what I've come to learn. The day I discovered privacy, I discovered cybersecurity, each and every day I got more curious. Right now, I'm trying to also understand what is AI, yeah? And fortunately, I took a fellowship with the Center for AI and Digital Policy last year. And it was interesting to learn about AI because in my work, I also interact with assessing AI systems. How do I go about it? So without learning, you might not deliver. Keep learning. Get those certifications. As the commissioner says, it is not rocket science. It is things that you send yourself to do. Like, just be there and be in the space. Be in professional organizations, or do I say like ISACA, IAPP, have membership, attend those webinars, as she said. So I wouldn't want to belabor much on what she said, but that worked for me. It can work for another person. So take the leap of faith or take the deep dive and give it a shot.
Thank you, Ms. Chepkumoy, and thank you also to our listeners. Today we had Commissioner Cassett, who is Kenya's first data protection commissioner. And we also had Ms. Cynthia Chepkumoy, who is currently the data protection officer at the Kenyan Women Microfinance Bank. To our listeners, we thank you for listening and learning about the data protection insights and framework happening in Kenya. To our audience in the DC region and abroad, thank you for listening.
The DC Bar Law Student Community strives to engage and support law students before you graduate and expose you to the tangible benefits of joining the DC Bar and DC Bar communities. Curated programming allows law students to participate in leadership trainings, substantive content programming, networking with practicing attorneys in fields of interest, writing opportunities, and other activities designed to expand your legal education beyond the classroom. Make an investment in your legal career by joining the law student community. To learn more, visit us at www.dcbar.org or email communities@dcbar.org.